All right, get ready to dive into something pretty wild today. We're tackling quantum computing.
The future of computers, really.
Exactly. But no worries, we're going to break it down so anyone can get it. Today's all about the double slit experiment.
Ah, a classic. And crucial for understanding this whole quantum computing thing.
You said it. It's been blowing physicists' minds for like over a century, right?
Yeah, it's one of those foundational experiments. Shows us just how weird the quantum world really is.
Okay, I'm intrigued, but I gotta be honest, quantum physics sometimes feels a bit abstract. Like, how does this experiment actually work? Can we walk through it with an example or something?
Absolutely. So picture this. We have a device. It's shooting out electrons.
Electrons, those super tiny particles.
Yep, those guys. And we're shooting them at this wall, and the wall has two slits in it, kind of like a tiny little door with two openings.
Okay, I'm picturing it. Go on.
Behind that wall, we have this screen. And it's special because whenever an electron hits it, the screen lights up, so we can see where those electrons are landing.
Okay, so we're basically playing a high-tech game of catch with electrons.
Yeah, kind of. Now, here's where things get interesting. If we were firing something more familiar, like, say, paintballs, at those slits,
Can't pause, okay.
we'd expect to see two lines of splatters on the screen behind the wall, right? Each line lining up with a slit.
Makes sense to me. Straight lines, paint goes through the hole, hits the back.
Exactly. But here's where the quantum weirdness kicks in. When we fire electrons, we don't get those two neat lines. Instead, we see this pattern on the screen, a bunch of light and dark bands all spread out, kind of like a zebra stripe pattern or a barcode, maybe.
Wait, what? Really? So it's not just two lines of where the electrons hit.
Nope, not at all. It's like they're behaving like waves, those electrons, spreading out, overlapping, interfering with each other, and making that pattern.
Okay, hold on. My brain needs a minute to catch up. So you're saying the electrons are somehow going through both slits at the same time, like each electron is doing that.
That's the crazy thing the double slit experiment shows us. It's like each electron isn't just going through one slit or the other. It's like it's exploring all the possibilities at once.
Whoa. Okay, I think I see why they call it quantum weirdness. But how does this even happen? What's going on with those electrons?
Well, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's what makes this experiment so fundamental to understanding the quantum world. It's like a little window into the strangeness of it all.
Definitely a brain-bending window. So let's unpack that strangeness a little more, shall we? What else have scientists discovered about this whole double slit phenomenon?
Oh, they've gotten creative, trust me. They've come up with all sorts of variations on the experiment to really poke and prod at this whole quantum weirdness thing. Like, imagine this. We dial down the electron gun so it's only shooting out one electron at a time.
One at a time. So each electron is going through the whole setup solo, basically.
Exactly. One electron, two slits, and then that screen. Now, what would you expect to see in that case?
Well, if it's just one at a time, I guess you'd see individual dots lighting up on the screen, right?
Yeah.
Like each electron would have to pick a slit, go through, and hit the screen.
Seems logical, right? But that's not what happens.
Yeah.
Nope. Even when we send those electrons one by one, over time, that same interference pattern builds up.
Get out of here. Are you serious? So even when they're going through solo, they're still acting like waves, interfering with
Oh,
what?
themselves. You got it. It's like each electron isn't just a single particle, but carries with it this wave of possibilities, like it's going through both the slits, even though it's just one electron. It's wild, right?
Mind-bending is more like it. So it's not just about where the electron goes, it's like there's this fuzziness, this uncertainty built into it.
Exactly. It's like the electron is a master of keeping its options open.
Okay, this is getting weirder by the minute. And I bet physicists didn't just stop there, did they? I mean, someone had to try to trick these electrons, right?
Oh, of course. They set up detectors by the slits to see which one the electron actually goes through. Like, aha, we've got you now.
Busted. So what happens then? Does knowing which path the electron takes change anything?
It changes everything. The moment we try to observe the electron to pinpoint which slit it went through, the interference pattern vanishes. Poof.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
No more wavy interference. Just what? Two lines then.
Exactly. Two distinct clusters, just like we'd expect if we were firing those paintballs. It's like the electrons know we're watching and they're suddenly on their best behavior, acting like well-behaved particles again.
Wow. So the act of observation actually affects the outcome of the experiment.
Yeah.
That's both amazing and kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's a real head-scratcher, that's for sure. It's called the observer effect, and it's one of the big mysteries in quantum mechanics. It's like our observation forces those quantum possibilities to collapse into just one outcome, the one we measure.
Okay, this is blowing my mind. So it's not just that these particles are acting weirdly, it's that our observation, our attempt to understand them, actually plays a role.
Right. And it gets even more complex. Scientists have done all sorts of tweaks to this experiment, and each variation reveals something new and mind-boggling.
Like what? Give me some examples.
Well, for starters, they've messed around with the sizes of the slits. Turns out, if you make the slits bigger or smaller, the interference pattern changes.
So the size of the opening affects how wave-like the electron behaves.
Exactly. And it gets even weirder. They've even figured out ways to try and erase the which path information after the electron has passed through the slits.
Wait, erase the information? Like a quantum eraser?
Yeah, pretty much. It's like giving the electron a chance to unchoose its path after the fact, and sometimes the interference pattern comes back. It's like messing with the past in a way.
Okay, this is officially beyond anything I could have imagined. My brain is doing backflips trying to wrap itself around all of this.
That's the beauty and the challenge of quantum mechanics. It forces us to rethink our basic assumptions about how the world works. But it's not just about mind-blowing experiments. To truly grasp this quantum weirdness, we need to dive into the language that describes it.
You're talking about the math. Because I gotta admit, math and I, we have a complicated relationship.
I hear you, but trust me on this one. When it comes to the quantum world, the math isn't just some abstract thing. It's the key to unlocking a deeper understanding.
Okay, I'm listening. What kind of math are we talking about here?
We're talking about complex numbers.
Complex numbers, those things with imaginary components. I always wondered what those were actually good for.
They're essential for describing the quantum world. Because, you see, to understand these electrons and their wave-like behavior, we can't just rely on the math we use for everyday objects.
So complex numbers are like a secret code for deciphering the quantum world.
Exactly. Think about it. To describe a wave, we need to talk about its amplitude, how high it peaks, and its phase, where it is in its cycle, like whether it's cresting or dipping.
Yeah, like waves on the ocean, they have those high peaks and low dips.
Exactly. And complex numbers allow us to neatly represent both of these properties at the same time. It's like a two-for-one deal.
Okay, I'm starting to see how this fits. So instead of just a single number, we use a complex number to describe an electron's wave function.
Right.
Right? To capture both its amplitude and phase.
Precisely. It's like upgrading from a stick figure drawing to a high-definition 3D model. Instead of just saying where the particle might be, complex numbers help us understand how likely it is to be in a particular spot and how its wave is going to interact with other waves.
Okay, I'm starting to appreciate the power of complex numbers here.
Yeah.
It's like they provide the language for this whole quantum conversation.
And that's precisely what allows us to move from those mind-boggling experiments to the realm of building machines that harness this strangeness.
You're talking about quantum computers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The ultimate goal of all this quantum exploration.
Bingo.
All right, let's talk quantum computers. How do we go from firing electrons at slits to potentially revolutionizing everything?
Well, it all circles back to that mind-bending concept we talked about earlier, superposition. That idea that a quantum system, like an electron, can be in multiple states at the same time. That's the fundamental idea behind a qubit, the building block of a quantum computer.
So instead of bits, which can be a zero or a one, like a light switch that's either on or off, we have qubits, which can be in a blend of both, a zero and a one at the same time.
Exactly. It's like having a dimmer switch that can be anywhere between fully on and fully off, or even both at the same time.
Okay, my brain just did a loop-de-loop. So that means a single qubit can represent way more information than a single bit, right?
Way more. The amount of information a quantum computer can handle increases exponentially with each qubit you add. It's like comparing a bicycle to a spaceship in terms of how much they can carry.
Wow. So while our everyday computers are stuck crunching through possibilities one at a time, a quantum computer can explore tons of possibilities all at once. That's incredible. But how do we even control these qubits? It seems like they'd be super sensitive and unstable.
That's the trick, isn't it? It's like trying to build a computer out of soap bubbles. We use things like lasers, microwaves, and magnetic fields to carefully manipulate these qubits and get them to do what we want.
So we're essentially choreographing a quantum dance with these qubits trying to make them dance to our tune.
That's a great way to put it. And just like that interference pattern tells us about the journey of the electrons, the final state of those qubits after we've poked and prodded at them gives us the answer to a problem.
So in a way, we're using the weirdness of the quantum world, this whole idea of superposition and wave-particle duality, to perform calculations that would be impossible for a regular computer.
It's like having a whole new set of rules to play with.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
But how do we even begin to build these quantum computers? It sounds incredibly complex. It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it. This little experiment with electrons and slits, it could change everything.
It really shows you how some of the biggest scientific discoveries come from exploring these fundamental questions. Just trying to figure out how the universe sticks.
Exactly. Like, who would have thought that shining a light, or I guess firing electrons, at this basic question about the nature of reality would lead to a technology that could revolutionize so many fields? It's incredible.
And it makes you wonder, what other weirdness is out there waiting to be discovered, right? Like, what other mind-blowing technologies are we going to stumble upon as we keep digging deeper into the quantum realm?
That's what I love about all this. It's like we're just starting to scratch the surface of what's possible. But for those of us who are now, let's be honest, completely hooked on quantum mechanics after this deep dive, where do we go from here? What are some key takeaways, the things we should really remember about all this?
I think the biggest takeaway is to hold on to that sense of wonder. Don't be afraid to ask those what if questions, even if they sound crazy. Because as the double slit experiment shows us, sometimes the most profound discoveries come from challenging our assumptions about how reality works.
Let's embrace the weirdness, right? Don't shy away from it.
Exactly. And if you're hungry for more, well, there's a whole universe of information out there. Books, articles, videos, you name it. The quantum rabbit hole goes deep, so don't be afraid to jump in and explore.
Well said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into the double slit experiment and the amazing world of quantum computing.
It's been a wild ride.
For sure. But hey, if you had the chance to ask a quantum computer one question, what would it be? Let us know. We're dying to know what you're thinking. Until next time, happy exploring.